To me, it's the most pathetic thing that religion does, which is to make you choose God over people.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about capital punishment and how the death penalty figures in with the ethics of being an atheist.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my lovely and talented co-host, Tim Wick.
I'm lovely.
And Molly.
I thought you're like my lovely and talented. I thought you were going to say wife, but then you said co-host Tim Wick, so fuck you.
Yeah, that was...
I was like, oh, that's such a sweet introduction for Tim.
Yeah.
And Molly.
Tim's a prize to be just held.
Surprise.
We're lucky to have him, Molly.
Just ask Molly Zupin's boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. That's because he...
My bromance.
He likes to cut...
Friend of the show, Mark
Baker.
He likes to cut himself off a hot slice of wick.
That's right, he does.
Steaming
I love the
pile,
way we're leading into today's
steaming
topic.
Steaming pile of Tim Wick.
I think we just played Wick Chicken, and I lost. So, and today on our fun, lighthearted comedy podcast, we're going to talk about the death penalty.
Yay!
Death penalty.
Yeah, that's a capital idea.
Well, we got the pun out of the way, yeah. So thank you for that.
That's a joke.
Brother.
The ethical decisions behind, you know, whether it should be allowed or not allowed.
How we personally feel.
Yeah.
And how faith or lack thereof influences that. Because I know that for me, I feel like over time, the more confident I become in my atheism, the stronger I felt about it, the less strong I felt about the death penalty.
Yeah, I've always been against the death penalty, primarily because I think of all the punishments that you can exact on somebody, the death penalty is the only one you can't take back. So if you get it wrong... You just killed somebody, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well,
you can't, and there are plenty, and there's plenty of evidence of people who have been killed who are innocent.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you take away 40 years of someone's life in imprisonment, you can't take that back.
Yeah, but you can compensate them financially. I mean, you're right. But I mean, you can't.
It's the only one that's permanent.
Sorry, we'll bring you back to life. You can't do it. As an atheist, it takes it even further for me because, you know, from my perspective, life is precious. We get one shot at this, right? There's no reincarnation.
Yeah.
There's no afterlife. So that makes murder pretty fucking awful.
Yeah.
But I don't think it makes it better to kill the person that engaged in that behavior. It still ends everything about them.
So
forever.
The death penalty for a long time was something that I just straight up just refused to discuss with people because, and it still is a little bit for that for me, because my opinion of the death penalty, which has changed recently, but this had always been my opinion, which was I believe that it is a good thing, but I believe that the way that I want it exacted could never exist in a just and fair society. Therefore, I'm not really for the death penalty because there's no death penalty that would please me. What I would want, for example, is if let's say there was a man who had raped, tortured, and murdered women, and, you know, has admitted to it, evidence proves it, whatever, like, no, we're all as sure can be that it happened. Unrepentant, whatever. I don't care, repentant, I don't care.
Well, I mean, he doesn't...
Let's just throw that in there, unrepentant. I don't think he should get to go to sleep to die. I think he should have to be dragged out and murdered in the cold and die alone in the dark like all of his victims did.
And it should take a long time.
And it should hurt a lot. And then he should be genuinely scared. I think that they should
do
it without
me.
Oh, yes, very. Because he's a monster.
Right.
And so that is my, and I also think that anyone who sexually touches a child should be killed. I don't care. I don't think there's rehabilitation for anyone who can get an erection or get horny when they see a naked child. I don't think that there's a way that you can fix that.
The notoriously known for not being rehabilitated.
I think that you're, I think a switch is flipped in your head and it's time for your card to be pulled. Now, I also know that none of that is ever legally possible. It is, like you said, inhumane and completely not, doesn't have a reasonable place in a just society. Yes, unethical. So I don't talk about that. And recently my opinion of the death penalty in general changed a bit because we watched a show called The Killing. And if you haven't seen it, it's very good. Specifically this last season, which was the last season. There's a man, and a big part of the show is that this man is on death row, and the woman who put him there, the cop who put him there, is starting to be convinced that perhaps he didn't do that. And hold on, are you putting a magnet by your hard drive?
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that shit's shielded.
Okay. And and as she's becoming increasingly convinced he didn't do it, the scenery is, you know, like, eventually, you know, spoiler alert, put to death, is pretty rough. Like,
yeah, it's a very emotional...
And it made me cry, and it kind of fucked up my shit.
I feel like as long as our justice system is in the state that it is, where...
There we go.
There's not a lot of... I don't know. There's definitely a lot of racial bias going on in the justice system as far as like who's being arrested,
who's being sentenced to death.
Yeah. It absolutely is not representative of the populations. I feel like that if some people are more likely to get the death penalty based on shit that they have no control over,
the state they live in,
there's so many factors involved. Yeah. It's just like, then we shouldn't do it.
If we can't make it fair, we cannot fairly apply the death penalty,
if we can't apply the death penalty in a perfect vacuum.
So I guess for me, it's like, because of what you said, Tim, about how it being permanent and irreversible and it being this, like, the worst thing you can do to a person is to put them to death. For me, I feel like I'm not opposed to it because of that, but there's no way to use it right. I think that's a good thing to have that punishment available, but I think that there's no way to use it. So at this point, I am logistically opposed to the death penalty.
So, you know, I also have a problem with it from a sociological perspective in that the death penalty, people hold this up without any evidence, which bothers me. They hold up, they say, well, the death penalty is a deterrent from other people doing the same kind of thing.
No.
And it's not. It's not a deterrent at all. Death penalty does not ever deter a capital crime because you can kind of logic it out. When somebody's going to kill somebody, you know, or rape somebody and kill somebody or anything like that, they think one of two things. A, they don't think they're going to get caught, so they aren't worried about how they're going to get punished.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, they're doing it as a crime of passion, at which point they're not even considering the consequences because they're already not in their right mind.
Right.
And so it doesn't deter anybody from committing a similar crime.
Yeah, I don't think it should ever be used for you killed a guy or hell, or even if you like, you took a, even for things like Sandy Hook. Even for things like that, where someone just took a gun and went in and just sprayed bullets and murdered people indiscriminately, for some reason I don't think that would deserve the death penalty. Specifically, I think of serial killers, and I think of people that spend weeks and months targeting, stalking.
There's a methodical nature to it.
A plan.
Yeah.
Doing it for thrills, doing it for kicks. Like, though, that's... And then that sense, I do think it is a deterrent in that it deters that guy from doing it again. You know, that's the one thing.
Sure. Life in prison does the same thing. You can't do it either way.
Sure. So, and, yeah.
You and I have had discussions about the topic.
Yes.
And I know that you had mentioned one of the things that kind of changed your mind a bit is the cost factor as well, which is not an ethical... Well, I mean, it is kind of an ethical thing.
I think it's ethical. Money is a finite resource.
Expand on that.
Yeah, I think I used to erroneously think that putting a person to death costs less than life imprisonment, and I have been dissuaded from that by the facts.
The facts, okay.
We'll post some links that we found, but... it's not. I mean, it's just not true. It's just not true because of appeals and the money that it costs. And to be sure, the money that it costs to be sure is less than the money it costs to not really care if you're sure or not because he's not getting put to death.
Well, and the places where they... The death row, where they keep the prisoners before execution or leading up to it, which can be for, you know, years and years...
It almost always is.
Is a higher security. The guard-to-prisoner ratio is... it's way like different.
10 to 2 or it's, something like
that. I can't remember any specifics, but it's ridiculous. And then these people need to be monitored 24/7 on a very close basis. Because the last thing
they wanted to do is kill themselves.
Right. And they have to be healthy before you can kill them.
Right,
right.
So if they hurt themselves, they can't be killed.
Or if they have cancer, you have to make sure that they're you can't kill them if they have cancer. They have
to
go through
chemo or whatever to get cured.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's amazing the rules that there are.
And those are ethical. Those laws are there for ethical reasons to make, because it's the death penalty is allowed as long as it's humane. It's inhumane to kill someone who's dying,
right?
But it's okay to kill them if they're healthy.
Talk about victimless crimes.
I mean, compare that to like states where the death penalty is perfectly legal, but
euthanasia
is not.
I know. It's fascinating that dichotomy where we're okay with the state killing somebody, mm-hmm. but we're not okay with somebody making the decision to end their life when their life has reached a point.
Well, do you think the reason for that is religious?
I was just going to say I blame that on religion 100% because of the pervasive notion that suicides don't get to go to heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that really? Do you think that's the only thing or the main thing preventing euthanasia from being accepted?
I think that is one of the biggest things, because I think that the people who are okay with euthanasia either believe that you go to heaven no matter what, or they don't believe in heaven or whatever.
Sure.
I think the people who are against it, it's the same thing of the whole like you shouldn't play God. Yeah. It's God's job to take a life.
I think you would have a difficult time finding an atheist or a non-religious person who's opposed to euthanasia, for a terminal patient.
Yeah.
I think they probably exist, but I think that you're right that it is primarily religion that drives that opinion.
I mean,
but the religious objection to capital punishment isn't necessarily there.
Well, that's because you're being judged in a court of law, and theoretically, God is there. And judgment is something that God does too.
Right.
And I wonder if it comes from back when, you know, when the judges, you know, were representatives of God in that sense. I mean, our justice system is modeled after England's justice system is modeled after, you know, it goes back and back and back.
Yes.
The idea that you swear in the Bible because God is in the courtroom, because he, sure. you know, all these things are being said.
Well,
you can
totally talk about that, too. The whole idea that you have to swear on the Bible in the courtroom when there's supposed to be a separation.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
But, that's where that came from, is the idea absolutely. That, you know,
or swearing into office on a Bible.
Well, sure. I will say, I think, you know, I'll take it a step further than euthanasia for terminal patients. I think suicide is a right. I do. I think the right to end your own life on your own terms, whenever you want, is your own right. I think suicide is fucking cowardly if you're not dying.
I think it's a really bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say I'm against suicide.
I'm not.
But I don't. If someone attempts suicide, do you think they should be held in a psychiatric place to get the help they need to be held?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure, because they need help.
Sure.
But like, I also don't think
that shouldn't be you shouldn't be considered a criminal for trying to kill.
Well, no, you're not a criminal. Suicide shouldn't be a crime.
Right.
You get some privileges revoked.
Right. But if someone says, what if someone is like completely healthy, you know, but they don't want to kill themselves and they beg someone to kill them. At that point, it's word against word.
Euthanasia, euthanasia is a peaceful like escape from pain.
Yes.
So what's to say that like suicide isn't a self-administration of euthanasia. Not necessarily physical pain, but mental or emotional
exactly.
trauma?
Exactly.
Okay. I think
it's a right.
All right.
I think your life is your own, and I think it's your right to live it how you want, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. And I don't think. I mean.
But then we get back to the death penalty question of if your life is your own, mm-hmm. then there's that ethical question.
Then no one else has the right to
take
it away.
No one has the right to take it away, no matter what you've done.
Agreed. Now hold on. I mean, I do agree with that, except that I think that my ideas about the death penalty could never be put into practice.
Well, my ideas I want people to be alive, but I want them to suffer. You know, if you're a
slightly
rapist,
irregular beatings, so that you don't know when to expect it.
Yeah, if you're a serial killer, that you know what ought to happen is every morning a family member of one of the people that you killed gets to come into your cell and punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Or it's random, so you don't know. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could, who knows, but you always just keep getting, and I recognize, again, unethical,
it's inhumane.
It's wrong, so, there's no way to make that, that okay, and yet, that to me is...
Is fair
for what you've done.
Just.
The death penalty feels kind of sanitary.
It's like a cheat.
Yeah.
Those people don't want to be
detached from the fact that you're stuffing out a life.
Even though I continue to ethically be opposed to the death penalty and the idea that I don't feel that the state has the right to take a life under any circumstances.
Go ahead.
I'd say under any circumstances. Can I, do you mind?
Because that directly applies to like war,
I more specifically want to know, would you say that there is no circumstance under which you think that you would seek the death penalty? Like, let's say, like, if you witness a dude, like torture and murder Alex to death, and you see him.
Your son.
You know who it is. You know it's him. Like, you saw it. There's no question.
Now we're talking the battle between the emotional and the intellectual. I want to wring the guy's neck right there.
You don't need to kill him though. The state is offering to do it for you. Is this a time when you would think that that's a just, that, you know what I mean? And that's why I feel like it's so hard for us to sit back and say, "Oh, it's not fair. No, the state shouldn't have the right to do that."
I can honestly say that no, I don't.
Really?
I can honestly say that under that circumstance that I would not I wouldn't want that guy
to die?
I wouldn't want him to get to die. I'd want to find a way to make sure that he was miserable for the rest of his life.
I want
him to be miserable for as long as possible. That's the problem. It's like, to me, the death penalty, you know, they put him in...
Put him in Gen Pop with no commissary.
Yeah.
Like, shit like that. Like, you know, make it, yeah.
And I know that that's not realistic either, but...
Prison's worse than death row from every movie and television show I have ever seen.
All these fictional representations.
I'm just saying, death row, you get to be by yourself. I wouldn't mind being alone, but having to...
I don't know. I'd want him to be like in a cell where he doesn't get TV, where he doesn't get books,
where
he's just got to sit there and do nothing.
Think about what he's done.
That isn't even cruel and unusual punishment. It's not even think about what he's done. It's just
nothing to do.
Be stuck with yourself for 60 years. That to me is way worse.
Oh yeah.
That's the hypothetical you posed.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot answer because I don't know how I would react. I don't know what
of course,
I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that having thought about it, I have no idea how I would react.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that I would crack and crumble, and everything that I hold ethically right now could very drastically change. And so I don't know how I would. I very much feel
that if, and I'm, you know, we don't have kids, so the nearest, you know, analogous thing to that would be, for me, would be Nick. And I genuinely think that if I saw someone, you know, let's say we get attacked, and which I think about a lot, by the way. I think about these sorts of things. If we got attacked and someone, like, you know, was brutalizing us both, and but somehow I live and he dies and I know who it was because I saw his face, heard his voice, he told me his name, whatever the fuck, like, I know who it is. I think I would have a very hard time not spending the rest of my years until I got it perfect to kill that person. And I don't care. And I wouldn't try to do it in the way that I would get away with
So revenge.
Oh yes.
Not vengeance.
No.
Not justice.
No, well, no, it would be justice for me, and it would be revenge.
It wouldn't be justice.
It would be justice for me. it would be Batman justice. And I would very well, I would go into it full knowing that I might end up in prison, and I would probably kill myself before I got caught if I thought they were coming, honestly. I've thought about this a lot because I am an emotionally reactive person, and there is one thing in this world that matters to me more than anything else, and it's you. And if someone took you away from me and did it in a way that hurt you when you were gone, if I knew you suffered, I would make them suffer every inch of it back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my kids and my wife, if
and this is going to be played at my trial.
Yeah.
Hi, future Molly. Sorry you're in jail.
Wait a minute, I'm dead.
He's dead though, right?
My kids and my wife, you know, my mom, my brother, if somebody did that to somebody that I cared about that much,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like I say, there's the emotional and the intellectual. Mm-hmm. Intellectually, I think the death penalty is wrong. Emotionally, we were talking about the gang rape, mm-hmm. The people that were just sentenced to death in India.
Yes, in India, the Delhi gang rape murder, which it ended in a murder. I mean, she's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. So I mean, emotionally,
raped to death.
Emotionally, to me, it's like, yes, mm-hmm. fuck them.
Yeah.
Intellectually, I don't see any benefit to it.
Two wrongs make
you. But what's, yeah. So what's the benefit to them being alive?
They get to suffer.
It's they get.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Delhi prison.
Because then, I mean, okay. So by saying that you should go to prison to suffer and to be miserable and all that, you're pretty much right there admitting that prisons aren't for rehabilitation.
We know the prison isn't for rehabilitation.
Certainly not third world countries.
Right.
It should be for
in the United
people.
States.
It's not.
Their correctional facilities, ostensibly, they are for rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And whether or not that is how it actually ends up being, whether or yeah. not that's how it ends up, you know, the execution of that,
for a percentage of the population they are.
Sure.
Of the prison population, sure. For a percentage they are.
So I feel like by saying no death penalty, life in prison, suffer and think about it, life in prison is like, there should be two kinds of prison, rehabilitation prison and...
Prison sucks. Prison
and gulag.
Gulag prison.
Yep. Yeah,
and you go to real.
You're
prison.
Going. You're going here. You're going here, and it's going to suck because you don't deserve a comfortable
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
You sacrificed the right to a comfortable life when you did what you did.
Yeah. I also feel like. Okay, so let's say that. What if it was cheaper to kill somebody? What if the death penalty was cheaper than life in prison? Let's just say, what if it was half the cost? And I mean that now. I wonder, because for me, a large part of it is the money. I mean, because for real, like people who can't eat, there's people who can't afford to eat. I don't think we should put people to death.
Society.
Yeah. We shouldn't be putting people to death if people can't eat.
You know what? If we just stopped like imprisoning people for like bogus ass nonviolent drug crimes and shit like that. Then the financial drain that the prisons are on the country wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And it costing more for the death penalty or for life in prison. Maybe I wouldn't like give a fuck if it was cheaper to execute them because the prisons aren't costing us that much like fortunes.
Mm, yeah, and to me, my objections to the death penalty go beyond finance,
mm-hmm.
so it wouldn't change my mind.
I just feel like I don't see. You say what's the benefit in putting them to death, but I don't see what the benefit is in letting them stay alive either. There's no benefit anymore.
Right.
At this point, yeah. all benefit has been sucked out of these people because
there's a moral benefit to saying, you know what, killing is wrong.
Sure.
And we're not going to be part of the problem by coming up with a justification to kill somebody.
Do you think there's ever justification for war?
There has to be, and even that...
So there is justification to kill.
To kill.
Well, there is, and even so...
Self-defense.
Self-defense. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, killing somebody is...
Serious.
You know, when you're let's look at it this way. Let's take World War II, which, you know, is probably the best example.
It's the last war that you can't even say there was a problem with. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but that said, all right, that war was absolutely right to be fought. You know, the number of people Hitler would have killed,
mm-hmm.
had he not been taken out of power,
oh, yeah.
compared to the number of people that were killed even while he was in power,
yeah.
is astronomical. It's just horrifying to think
mm-hmm.
of how many more deaths through the concentration camp system would have been caused. Not because he was almost done with the Jews. He was moving on to the next group of people
mm-hmm.
he wanted to kill.
Was already
he wasn't
done with the gypsies.
He
yeah.
wasn't finished.
Yeah. And the homosexuals.
And yet, a soldier that's on the American side, who we consider the good guys,
mm-hmm.
stands there, shoots a gun at a soldier who's on the German side, who's an 18-year-old kid, who may or may not believe in what Hitler stands for,
mm-hmm.
but he's German and he's fighting for his country,
mm-hmm.
that killing is still tragic.
Oh, I agree, it's tragic, but you said wrong, morally wrong, and there's a difference between tragic and wrong.
So, and also, like, I mean, World War II, it's so funny to me, Americans, we're World War II is the good war. That's the one. Yeah, we were ethical. We were on the right side. But But no one wanted to go to war.
No.
It was an incredibly unpopular...
No one ever wants to go to war.
It was an incredibly unpopular decision. We were still reeling from World War One.
Yeah.
Like, the huge amount of the population did not want to go to war.
Sure.
There were Americans who thought Pearl Harbor was false flag.
Yeah.
To get the population riled to go
but
to war.
But it's wrong to say no one wanted to go to war. After Pearl Harbor, actually, it was overwhelmingly...
yes.
The public support was overwhelmingly...
That's because we wanted to get back.
The reason I brought war into the whole picture at all was this. I think it's easy to say killing is wrong and we shouldn't be part of the problem. Because, of course, killing is wrong. Mm. But... killing is wrong, but yet we still have to do it. And no one in this room is going to say there's no reason you should ever kill someone. There's always going to be a reason. A guy's attacking you,
pacifists.
Yeah,
there are people who think that
there's never a reason. And they're wrong.
If I walked into the house and I saw somebody attacking my wife and I had a baseball bat in my hand and I knew the only way that I could get them to stop attacking my wife was to beat them until they were dead, I would do it. And there wouldn't even be a question in my mind about whether or not it was right.
Exactly. So yes, killing is serious business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
It should never be something done lightly.
Right. And I don't mean... And I think that the problem is that the way that our justice system is, which is pretty much a fucking joke, because the more money you have, the better you'll do. And that's a joke. And I think that because of that, and the whiter you are, the better you'll do, and all that shit. Yep. And I think that because of that, that means that the death penalty is not serious business because the system that's leading up to it is not serious business.
Flawed.
Is a joke. Yeah.
And I'd further argue that I don't know that the best justice system you can create would be without flaws.
Well, it's just like government. Well, best answer.
Well, that's why we say that you have to be absolutely certain that someone committed a crime to be found guilty and innocent until proven guilty. I mean, our justice system is built supposedly, ideally, on paper, we would let guilty people go in favor every once in a while as a consequence of not convicting innocent people.
That's not true.
It's the opposite.
It's a socioeconomic thing.
Absolutely.
You are poor, you are more likely to be convicted of a crime, whether or not you did it.
And there's one more thing about like the money thing, the cost of the death penalty thing. I feel like America we think very highly of ourselves in terms of like we're a just country.
Sure.
You know, we want to be a democratic nation that serves as an example to the world. And so I think that if doing the right thing and carrying out the right form of justice, whether that be life in prison or the death penalty, ethically, whatever's the correct thing to you or to the system, if it costs more to do the right thing, then America would do the right thing.
Yeah, I think that the problem is with, because we talked about how religion does factor into it, the problem is, and I still think we're too big of a country, there's too many of us, and we're too diverse to ever have one thing be the right thing for all of us.
That's kind of cool.
It is. But even on a state's level, I mean, what the right thing is for a group of Muslims. Rural versus urban. Muslim versus Christian versus atheist versus Jews versus women versus men. People with kids versus people without kids. I mean, it's
children
just,
versus adults.
Yeah, it's so hard. And this is why Plato and Aristotle wrote so many fucking books is because like there's so much to say. Like
it's all exceptions, no rules.
Exactly. All exceptions, no rules, death penalty. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Way to sum it up.
I have one more thing that I wanted to say. The other thing that kind of bugs me is the Hassan, who was the killer.
Oh, yes.
The killer.
Fort Hood.
Oh, right. Who was recently sentenced to death. And sometimes it bothers me because here there's very definitely a revenge factor to his sentence, and yet at the same time it bothers me because he offered up no defense. He wants to die, and we're just handing it to him on a silver platter. We're handing him his martyrdom, and we can sit there and go, you know what, he's not a martyr to me. It's like, well, he doesn't care what you think.
No,
he cares
not
about
you.
But the people who he cares about do view him as a martyr.
Yeah.
And his death is going to be a positive thing to them. And that too bothers me. In when you have somebody who's clearly motivated to be put to death by the state,
yeah,
and then we go ahead and we do it.
Ted Bundy was the same thing. Ted Bundy went to Florida specifically because he knew that then he'd be caught in a state that had the death penalty and they'd put him to death because he wanted to die, but he was too chicken shit to kill himself.
Yeah. And
he wanted people to know what he did first.
To me, again, what's the best thing to do for Hassan? You lock him in a prison cell. You don't let him have any communication with the outside world, so he can't get letters from people that think he's awesome.
You take him back to Fort Hood, and you just, I don't know, just let him loose.
Yeah.
Just, well, you know, just let the guys know that someone's coming by, and you just let him loose.
So, 5 questions?
Yes, I have 5 questions. 5 questions from Jacob Galati. Sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. And I'm just going to read his little intro quick. Yeah. I stumbled on your podcast a month or two ago and enjoy listening. I am relatively new to atheism, coming from a very Mormon background. I don't recommend it. And yours and other podcasts have been catching me up on ideas to develop my own philosophy now that I don't have one laid out for me that I never quite fit in.
Excellent.
Thank you for the work you put into making atheism heard.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
All right, Jacob's answers.
So our first question is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
This is hardly an original one. I love the Dark Knight trilogy. Heath Ledger's Joker is amazing, and I think the entirety of Dark Knight Rises was astounding to watch. I rarely walk away from movies in awe, but both The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises are movies I can't ever get over.
Yeah, you know, and this is a totally different podcast. I actually am an apologist for Dark Knight Rises.
That's the third one, right?
Yeah, that's the...
Oh, I also don't think it's that bad.
I gotta rewatch it.
Doing Bane.
I gotta rewatch it, because
It has problems, yeah. But I still... To me, The Dark Knight Rises was the first Batman movie that was about Batman. And I was like, they didn't do it perfect, but at least somebody finally made a Batman movie about Batman.
And not about the villain he's fighting.
Right.
Or about his origin story, which is always that's always the two. Yeah.
Batman's got a great origin story.
I love it.
I can see it 1,000 times.
Yep, agreed.
It's not like Green Lantern or something like that, where Superman. It's like, it's boring. Yeah, Superman, I don't need to see that ever again.
Yeah.
Batman origin story, like, it's been done so many different ways. Year One is so good.
Yep.
Like, Batman Year One. Yeah. Anyway, question number 2. What's your favorite atheist character?
I had difficulty with this one, as it hasn't been very long that I've been looking for them in media. I would have to say Morrigan from Dragon Age Origins. As an apostate, one who practices magic without the sanction of the church.
Apostate, excuse me.
When you first meet her, she comes across a colossal bitch with a chip on her shoulder. As you get to know her, however, you find out that first, she has every right to the chip, and second, that she isn't so much a bitch as just completely frank and honest. She maintains this frank honesty even when talking about her innermost feelings, things that everyone keeps inside them to avoid looking less dignified, I suppose. I think that she is one of the most fascinating and well-written characters in video games because she does not conform to any, or many, I suppose I'm not aware of them all, of the standard tropes of video game women or atheists.
That's interesting. So she's kind of essentially like the witch trope of the game, and... In Dragon Age, there's kind of a witch hunting Templar type group that, you know, the dominant religion, whatever, that keeps the dark, icky things away, and they also hunt apostates or witches.
Cool.
And she is, she's a very selfish character, partly out of self-preservation. Uh-huh. And without giving too much away, she is there because there's a couple different endings to the game. She is the focus of my personal favorite ending, and because she's one of the character's possible love interests. Because like the Mass Effect games, you get to fuck someone if you do it right. So if you fuck the witch, cool things happen.
Bumper sticker. All right.
Oh man.
Question number 3.
You got question number 3.
What is your geekiest hobby?
I don't have much that give other geeks pause. I play Magic and board games, but my real love is video games. Pretty much all my spare time after my daughter goes to bed is spent playing games, and I can generally continue talking about games long after other video game fans, he has that in quotes, have gotten bored. See question 2.
Sure.
As someone who also can talk at length about things that I like, even after other people's eyes glaze over, I salute you.
Fairly recently, Molly and I were at a party talking to a guy who had a video game tattoo that will go unspecified, and we were like, oh shit, you love video game? We love video game too. And then we had a long conversation with the guy about said video game, and Dude tapped out of that conversation pretty quickly for someone who has a tattoo for it.
So Nick and I just talked to each other for a while.
So then we went and had our own conversation.
Okay. Question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
Though I do love sandwiches, I'm not sure I have a favorite. My current favorite is an Eggy in the Basket grilled cheese sandwich. It's just two slices of white bread with a hole cut in one, buttered and cooked with an egg in the hole, and then cheese in between. If done right, it's a huge mess, but very yummy.
Yeah, well, an egg sandwich is always a huge mess. Especially, that's the whole point.
Yeah, cheese. Yeah. Oh, I'm done. Whole, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've discussed the fact that egg in a sandwich is like a level up.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Question number five. That's yours.
What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
This wasn't directly about atheism, but I mentioned something about evolution, and one of my coworkers, who is Mormon, shot it down. So I gave him a basic primer on natural selection and said, it makes perfect scientific sense. He responded, and insert as much derision as you can here, yeah, according to science. His totally obvious lack of knowledge as to what science is, but unwillingness to even begin to look into why his statement was completely idiotic would have made me laugh out loud if I wasn't barely suppressing the urge to shake him.
Yeah.
Jacob G, Victoria, BC, Canada.
That guy doesn't get to use antibiotics or a cell phone or the internet or a car.
Zippers?
Or he gets to go live on an Amish farm. No fire.
Yeah.
So I just got to make a point there that the sign off that he's from Canada.
He's from Canada. That's our first Canadian. I think is that our first Canadian.
I think it might be our
write in. Well, because Jason Tebow is our first Canadian guest.
Yeah.
But yes.
That lousy Canuck.
Yeah. You know, good job. Thanks, Jacob.
That's funny because it's his blog and stuff.
That was awesome.
We really appreciate, again, those questions.
Yeah, thank you for your answers. That's great. And if you want to send us your answers, send your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. I got my social medias crossed there.
And hey, if you have any thoughts about the death penalty, I think this is a really interesting topic.
Yeah, leave them as a comment. I'm sure... Mr. Bob Alberti has plenty of ethical arguments to make previous guest.
Yes.
Because we've talked about the topic before. So, thank you for listening. We're Geeks Without God. Bye.
Bye.
Get money, fuck witches, get the chair.
Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Yeah.